Well, I tell you, there couldn't be a better noise than to hear you all just sharing with each other at the beginning of the service. It's actually, it was so noisy, I think we're about to wake the dead. If you turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 4, it's always been kind of an enigmatic passage to me as I've looked at this particular text. It's talking about John the Baptist, the prophecy of John the Baptist coming in the spirit of Elijah. And he's going to come. Of course, we read in the Gospels that he declares, "Make ready the way of the Lord, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This particular prophecy that is dealing with John the Baptist writes this way in Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and the ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and the great and terrible day of the Lord." And here's the enigmatic verse. "And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse." We realize that according to the law, if you look in particular verse 4, Malachi is reminding us that God had established a law. One of the great commandments of the law, in fact, the first law with a promise is, honor your mother and father. That's interesting, isn't it? That's actually the first law with a promise. He then goes on and he says, the day is coming when the hearts of the fathers will be drawn back to the children will be drawn back to the fathers. I've often wondered how exactly was that done with John the Baptist, because as he comes on the scene, of course, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But he says something before that, and that is, make ready the way of the Lord. What it's talking about within the passage is that there's an excitement about somebody coming to fix everything that causes you to forget everything else. There's an interesting passage in Isaiah chapter 29, if you just take a moment and look there with me. Isaiah chapter 29, in which in this particular text, of course, starts off by saying that, you know, difficult times are coming for the children of Israel. And the reason is because they haven't been worshiping God really with their heart. Of course, that's the real problem with any of our relationships. We can say with our lips certain things, but with our heart, we maybe really don't mean it. The way that it's put in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their words, they honor me with lip service, they remove their hearts far from me. Therefore, their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote." But he goes on and says, "But I'm going to deal marvelously with them. And there's going to be a change." Well, you're just not going to believe it. Well, the passage goes on, and as it ends in this particular chapter, if you look with me in verse 22, it ends this way. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob." Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's basically the way that it goes, isn't it? And as you look at the progeny, as you begin to look at the inheritance, it's not getting better. Because by the time you get to Jacob, you have the 12 tribes and the 12 sons. And, well, they're fundamentally, if I were to sum them up, a mess. And they're doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing. And at this particular juncture, they really had even embarrassed Jacob, which was hard to do because Jacob himself was a mess up. But they began to embarrass their father in the sense that a few of them had gone out and just literally murdered a whole town. Think about that. And the father said, "You've made me odious in the eyes of everybody." How does a father feel good about his kids anymore? And how do kids feel good about their dad when they feel perhaps you should have done something about this? Well, the passage ends this way, if you look with me in 29, verse 22. Therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now turn pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. Things are changing. You go, how in the world do things change? You know, when you realize that there is somebody that's going to make everything right, and if you get everybody on that page, he's coming, and he's going to make everything right. It makes you forget everything. And somehow, as you begin to share with one another, Christ is coming. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And you begin to see families coming together again. I oftentimes thought about, my mother says, you've always been such a good boy. I says, Mom, I'm so thankful you have such a bad memory. And her memory's not real good at this point, at 97. But you realize that God is gracious to bring us back together around that one blessed hope. Not our righteousness, but his. And as we begin to realize that all of our sins are forgiven and everything can start all over again, well, it's almost as if none of those things ever happened. I asked Lori to come up, and you had an opportunity to talk to your mom before your mom passed away.
Yes.
And you know, the wonderful thing is, and I know that she was resistant to the gospel.
92 years of resistance.
92 years of resistance to the gospel. And I suppose that you were a model kid growing up, and so there weren't any problems with that. But isn't it wonderful that sanctification came as you both set your eyes on Jesus? Tell me exactly what happened when you, this time when you were able to come out and you heard your mom was getting ready to pass away, and it just like the Lord orchestrated everything, right?
Absolutely. My goodness, how much time we have. No, so 2 weeks ago Sunday, right during church, got a text from my sister in California. As some of you know, I recently, my husband and I moved here. But anyway, my mom was rushed to the hospital. We couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And lo and behold, it really appeared to be she's on her deathbed. Get to the hospital. And my sister's a Christian. My brother is not. And my mom was not quite with it. But God's perfection, all of her medications were, she couldn't receive anything else by mail. So medicines, nothing was going in her.
Everything was out of her system.
Out of her system. And God's sovereignty that allowed her mind to be clear. And mind you, it was a kidney failure. Hmm. So toxins building up in her, but God had her mind one day in the hospital be completely clear, and she was awake. And she kind of looked around like, what's going on? And I said, Mom, you're dying. So, and the way that God designs us all so differently in the body of Christ, which we talked about on mm-hmm. Wednesday, my boldness that the Lord gave me in that moment was for her to recognize, you're on your deathbed. Really? Are you going to keep resisting? Mm-hmm. So when she realized that, my sister said, Lori, you'll pray with you, prodding us along. That's what we do, right? We build each other up. We come alongside and strengthen those feeble knees and weary hands. And my mom, who resisted ever praying, ever, so many times, up until that Friday before she went in the hospital, asked if she would pray with me. She felt like her mind was cracking up. She refused to pray. But in that moment, she goes, yeah, I want to pray. So, as I shared with the ladies in Bible study, because without the body of Christ, I couldn't have never have been prepared for the moment of the privilege of leading my mom to the Lord. Knowing that God's word does not return void, it will accomplish what it is set out to do. God is sovereign, and we just learn how to stand in that sovereignty and really learning how to just press into his sovereignty and his perfect will, no matter what. I didn't know if my mom was going to submit. But when I started to pray with her, she didn't stop praying when I said amen.
She kept praying. Mom, you can stop now.
I did say that. Yeah. And
how it united your hearts.
Oh, yeah, like what you were just saying, you know, I don't know how, if when you tend to walk with the Lord, you forget. That's why he tells us so many times to remember. But to be able to forget her sins for all those years, that I had this new creation in front of me, and all things were passed away, and all things were new, and I thought, wow, Lord, are you going to take her like the next day? Like she's only going to be like one day old in you. But God let her stick around just a little bit longer. And I had some amazing, sweet moments with my mom early in the morning. It was just her and I in the morning. And got to just wait on the Lord. I was playing Christian music, mm-hmm. and there was one about come home. Mm-hmm. And my mom couldn't communicate a whole lot towards the end. She would just move her eyebrows and her eyes or whatever, and her hands a little. And as the song about coming home, I didn't understand why God was still having her lay here. You know, she's born again. Okay, let's go. And so I said, Mama, I don't know why you're still here. And she goes like this. But I leaned over her and... as you have been so faithful to teach us to submit, really to come under God's authority. His timing is perfect. I didn't have the answer for why she was still laying there when all seemed well. But I think when you have a loved one laying there, and I've seen this before with the death of my brother being there, it's not just about them. It's God doing a work in me. It's God doing a work in so many other people. He's a multifaceted God, right? He's not doing one thing. So I just leaned over her and I told her, I said, well, we may not know why you're not going today, but we're just going to trust him for today. Hmm. And opened up the scriptures, went over Psalm 23, why not? And sang to her about being grateful, as we are called to do, right? Just saying thank you for the moment that you're in. And I stopped singing the song in midway, and she looked at me like, why'd you stop? And it was just really a sweet moment. My mom never told me that she liked my voice, but she did tell me at that time she liked my voice. So I just had such sweet tenderness with my mama. And
the Lord wanted you to hear that.
Yeah, I guess so. There's just so many sweetnesses. There was so much of the body of Christ coming together in ways that people I don't know. I mean, you have no idea when you go out and about and in the public, the chaplains that were faithful to come in. And there was even a healing dog named Stella. I said, somebody had said, everyone needs a Stella in their life, and we are blessed to have a Stella. There was a Jacob's House of all names. I needed a place to stay, and a chaplain came in, and I had shelter. I never had a lack for food. I just was so taken care of, so blessed, so loved on, so unified with the body of Christ, so blessed to have my sisters and I know you were praying too, brothers and sisters praying me through that, because you know what? Couldn't have faced that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to fall apart. Mm-hmm. I did share with the sisters in that last 24 hours of her struggling to breathe. I was just at a loss for not knowing how to bring comfort to her. And I felt like the disciples when Jesus went off to pray and the three were set there and came back and it's like, really? You couldn't stay awake to pray? I just couldn't stay awake. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I was weary and I couldn't stay awake to pray. And I really feel, because I know Peter came that Wednesday night and I needed you guys to pray. And I think your prayers carried me through because I couldn't pray anymore. Mm-hmm. But I was faithful and then took her right after that.
Amen. Yeah. I'm so thankful. Thank you for sharing that.
Couldn't have done it without you guys. And the Lord.
You point to Christ, everything else goes away. All your imperfections, all of your sins, all of your past, done. Isn't it wonderful how it just brings the family together? Lord, we give you thanks for your marvelous work. You're able to resurrect where we have literally put to death things that have been so destructive in our lives, and yet you somehow miraculously bring life again. You restore hearts to one another. You give us everlasting life. We celebrate this day because of your great work. In Jesus' name, amen.